The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 213. I'm your host, Sonny Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Yeah, boy! What's up?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Still recovering from Kika Geddon.
Brian Manjoma.
No.
Brett Murdoch.
Still reading too much nerd stuff.
Adam Vale.
Shalom.
And joining us once again, our friend, Mr. David Gilkenny.
Ahoy, hoy.
What is going on, people? By the way, you have to deal with me backwards tonight because Google Chrome is being stupid. The Get Hangout Toolbox doesn't work, but people need to see my face because I'm the fucking host. So here I am.
You got to deal with me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is the way I see myself when I look in the mirror, you know?
I put a mask on when I look in the mirror.
You don't look backwards over here.
Okay, that's good. That means I'm symmetrical. I think Brett told me, like, Tony, you have a symmetrical face. Like, what does that mean?
Well, good thing, bad thing. I'm not sure how to take that.
It's a weird artist thing. Manny, back me up here.
No, we're not backing nothing up. Anyway.
Well, here's the thing.
No backups.
Here's the thing, though. You know, it's probably backward on his side because it's recording it backward because that's how it works usually.
It's the webcam, like the way it's flipped. Yeah.
It usually flips it whenever you look at it on your side so that it's like a mirror image and doesn't screw with you.
Yeah, like if I was streaming
inside
this
baseball.
Yeah. We're not going to get to that. Anyway, David, how have you been, man?
I've been doing good. Been trying to keep up with all this Sonic news lately. So.
Oh, yeah.
Sonic
the Hedgehog.
Yeah, what's been going on with the ARG podcast lately, man?
ARGcast is, you know, still going well. You know, we got like a new episode going up tomorrow. We had like a talk with someone who's making a new NES homebrew game, basically, like his own original game. So, you know, it was a really cool like talk with him. And the episode before that, we talked about the Mortal Kombat franchise. So we kind of got onto all that. So
that's things awesome, going well. Man. Awesome,
did you guys hear about that unreleased wrestling game, NES wrestling game?
Yes, we did talk about that.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
It looks really cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. All right. We got a lot to cover, so let's get into it, man. First up, Borderlands 3 reveal. They finally showed it. There's some drama that happened with that. But
microtransactions.
David, what are your thoughts on Borderlands 3, man? Start us off.
I mean, I'm hyped for the game itself. Like, I've always been kind of like a lukewarm Borderlands fan. Like, I like the franchise enough, but like, I wasn't like a crazy fan, like how like a lot of people are. But I definitely like where Borderlands 3 is going as far as like just basically making the Borderlands experience like bigger and better and modernized as well. And so like with that, you kind of expect there to be like microtransactions, but then Randy Pitchford kind of like threw out there's like no microtransactions when there really are, but like he's kind of getting into a battle of semantics, it sounds like. So.
Yeah, like he was saying, it's like, oh yeah, we don't have microtransactions, but you could buy different skins or something, it's all cosmetic.
It's cosmetics. Like, it's cosmetic.
Like, okay, so it's cosmetic microtransactions then.
Yeah. It's still microtransactions, basically. Yeah.
I think what he was trying to say before that was just not game impacting. You know, it's not like loot boxes are like, oh, you got to get these DLC map packs. Yeah. You know,
I mean, they were saying specifically.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah.
No. Go ahead, man. No, I was just gonna say like. Okay, yeah, you're right. It's totally semantics. I'm like, dude, okay, then just say you don't have loot boxes because you totally have microtransactions.
Right. Know? Well, he was like trying to make the argument that like he was trying to say that that they're not like breaking up the gaming experience and divvying it up as microtransactions, basically, and like, you know, trying to do the whole like currency scamming and like all that stuff. Like, I guess Mortal Kombat 11 wouldn't be a good example of that since they're not really like ask you to pay for anything with that. It's just all kind of like the currency system and that. Like, it's really kind of like the way that they're handling it is supposed to be, you know, quote unquote, the good microtransactions as opposed to the bad microtransactions that has a negative connotation attached to it, whatever that might mean. So Basically, like they're, I guess, like they're saying that like they're not looking to kind of like withhold any like content that the game, you know, to make the game run and be like fun and for everyone to like enjoy. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, just present the game as is and just have it be like cosmetics and everything, just how like the last game was basically with the skins and all that.
Yeah, Adam, get in here because I know you're a Borderlands guy. What do you think about this?
It didn't faze me. I'm okay with it. It's like, it's just cosmetics. I mean, it's got a billion guns, they said, you know, all right. And it's not all about maps. It's not one of those type of games. It's one large open world. So I'm cool with it. It's not like they were saying, oh yeah, we're going to introduce all these additional characters, but you're going to have to buy them. No.
Can I ask you a question?
I don't drink and drive. Next question.
why don't you care about cosmetics? And I'm asking you kind of as a sample.
It doesn't faze me because most of the stuff you could find, like, for example, when we play Division 2 and even the first Division, yeah, you could go buy stuff, but you get stuff that you find in open world from chests and other ways of obtaining these things. So there was no need for it. So it doesn't bother me. It's not like, oh, I need that to progress. You know, I don't need any of it.
It's not a game altering thing.
Basically. Exactly. It's not really like my gameplay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just to make you look like a certain way. And, you know, it's kind of similar, I guess, to well, like Overwatch does, because like Overwatch obviously has like their own microtransaction kind of like system in place, but it's more of like just to buy currency, so to get loot boxes. This is more of like if you want to get certain skins, much like how Borderlands 2 did late in its life cycle. So I don't really have anything against it. I just have against like what Randy Pitchford, I guess, was communicating originally and then attacking the press when they call them out for saying no microtransactions. Like they're are Randy, I don't know if you realize this in your own game, but you know, you're not exactly telling the truth here.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett. What are you gonna ask?
I'm trying to wrap my head around. So skins, you know, appearance, cosmetic things used to be a reward. It used to be the carrot on the end of the string that we played games for. Like it was a visual equivalent of a trophy or an accomplishment, and people would go after these things, and now they're being sold. And the thing that confuses me is people talk about like, oh, it's just a cosmetic thing. Nobody really cares. It doesn't really alter the gameplay. But it does, because it takes away that reward, that ability, not in all games, but in some games where you have to buy these cosmetics. You can't just hunt them down in a game. And people still kind of go like, oh, it's just a cosmetic now. Like the way I look at it is it used to be a reward in a game. And obviously people still care enough about it to pay real world money for it. Mm-hmm. And enough so that it's profitable for this company. So obviously people do care about their appearance in a game. And that does, when you take that out of the equation of rewarding them in gameplay from it, it does affect gameplay. So I'm just curious as to like where this idea that just because it's cosmetic doesn't mean
from. No, because there's a lot of games that offer that in-game where you could obtain it. But if you want to fast track it, then go ahead and buy the pack.
Yeah, so like it's not even cosmetics with you. It's just literally you don't care if somebody wants to buy something that that you can find in the game.
And even if I can't, if I have no intention of ever buying it, it doesn't faze me. So I'm like, okay, then whatever. Yeah, like, for example, Street Fighter 4, right? I always play with Ryu and Ken. I keep it old school. And they're like, oh, we got the zombie pack. We got this. You're like, I don't care. I don't need any of that stuff. I just like the white gi and the red gi. That's me.
Yeah, I'm the same way too. Like Mortal Kombat, you know, circling back to that, it has, you know, cosmetics. Yes, they spell it with a K because of course, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, branding, right? And by the way, I think you were talking about collectibles. I read it as collectibles.
With the clay,
So anyway, in Mortal Kombat, you could unlock different armors and all this other shit for your characters, make them look unique.
It's a different gear, basically, because like each character has like three sets of gear. Basically, three items in their gear.
Yeah. And in my review, I said, if you like that stuff, that's cool. I personally don't give a fuck about it. I just give me the base characters. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with any of that shit, you know? So, like, Brett, I do understand that to people it is important, but I'm just saying to me and Adam, it isn't. It's superficial. If it doesn't affect the gameplay to us, then we don't care. But I understand that some people, even though it technically doesn't affect the gameplay for them either, it affects the game experience for them, but it doesn't affect the gameplay. Yeah. It affects the game experience for sure. You know, but it doesn't affect the game. You don't
want to play Classic Scorpion? Old school Combat 1 Scorpion.
You know, I'm like, I don't care about that.
I just want to be able to earn the things. I'm in the same place as Adam, which is why I completely understand. And I'm glad I clarified. Yeah, the line in the sand is, if I can hunt these items down, cool. If you want to let somebody else buy them, okay, I don't give a shit. But as long as I can hunt them down, it's. But in a lot of games, Fortnite and whatnot, some of the skins, a lot of the skins, are exclusive to being bought premium currency.
Right.
You're seeing some of that even in Division.
From what Do we know?
No, no, that's stuff you can still find. That's stuff you can still find. The premium stuff, you still get the premiums.
Can you?
Okay. Do we know, like, do we know that if in Borderlands 3 that you can actually earn these like skins or like other items basically in game? Because I know you can earn like the guns and stuff, but like I don't know about the skins if you can earn them in game.
That's a good question. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they're tied into like boss defeats. You know, you beat a boss and then you get certain cosmetic items with that. You know, but there was a game I played recently that had sort of what Brett's complaining about was that Trial Rising. There were certain items where it's like, oh yeah, there's in-game currency that you can use. And then there were some that didn't have that option. It was like, had acorns. What's the acorn? Oh, that's real money, buddy. You know, you gotta buy this. Also, I can't even earn this at all. No, you can't at all. You have to buy it. That sucks.
I mean, Brett, if ideally, I wouldn't want any of that shit to be purchasable. You know what I'm saying? It's stupid, but these companies are going to do what they're going to do, and you know, people are willing to pay. Yeah.
As long as, here's the thing, if they make it purchasable, that's actually kind of partially in line with my goals. Like, they're going to make it challenging to get, and I understand that, but they need to find a balance of like not grindy, and that's a very big gray area, but. Finding something that's challenging for me to get and then a way for me to display that, like, that's kind of a carrot on a stick. And that incentivizes them to make cool rewards. They don't just bitch out and be like, yeah, it's a blue version of the costume you already
have. Yeah. Plus it's good like to have like options as well. Like, you know, if you wish to not spend extra money and try to grind and get like lucky basically with like the RNG drop or whatever for like whatever skin, like, you know, I'm not sure if like this is actually in the game, but like if that is how like it's laid out, then I think that's, you know, that's for the better. Or for people who would rather avoid all the grinding and just want to get the skin so that they have like their character look exactly the way that they want to look, they can itemize and just like get like their microtransactions, basically whichever ones that they want to buy. I think that's good too, honestly, like for people who want to go that route. Me personally, I'd rather like try to earn that stuff in game. And if there's something like really, really cool and it's like super grindy or like really, really hard to get or whatever, and I have like the, I don't know, in-game currency, whatever, like, the, you know, to basically buy it, I'll do that. So.
Currency with a K.
Currency with a K. If you're talking about K11, yeah.
Game Genie has been a thing since the beginning of gaming, pretty much. Well, since the first big wave of, you know what I mean, since back in the day. I see no problem with you even being like, I don't care if in a single player game you can buy yourself an invincibility potion unless you just wreck through every boss battle. Like, you couldn't full on hip hop that shit. I don't care.
Resident Evil 2 kind of has that, actually. The Resident Evil 2 remake, like, it has like those extra skins that you can buy individually as well. Like, if you really want your character to look a certain way, but there are also skins that you can unlock in game just by playing the game. So.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Hip Hop Gamer, man.
Jesus. Oh, the Pikachu?
Yeah, well, you know, with the whole cheating thing that he loves to do, you know?
That's why
he said hip hop. He turned hip hop into a verb. That's very well done, Brett.
No. I'm not throwing shade at you, hip hop.
But come on, bro. You got to stop fucking cheating, man.
No, dude loves combo. That's cool. As long as it's single player games. Like, man, you combo that shit all you want. But, like, you know. Be upfront about it.
Oh, he is, and he's very exuberant about it. You know,
that's cool. That's why it's fine.
He wants to know he plays. He pays $60 for them cheats.
Oh. Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I don't support like the way like the cheat sites or anything like that because they fuck up PC gaming. But like, see, that's a revenue stream. Like, why not? Like, why not let you pay, you know, an extra $6 in fucking Assassin's Creed to just be ridiculously overpowered and ruin everything. Honestly, all that does is it incentivizes them to make the rest of the game more Dark Souls-y for the rest of us. So, cool. I'm down with that. That's more options. It's a revenue stream and it takes money out of the hands of the people who build aimbots for PC gaming and essentially ruin.
And as long as it's not predatory either, like if they're like trying to like push it and like jam it down your throat, but like just have it be like a side option where like, you know, you like press like a button while you're on like the main menu and it pulls up like basically a storefront for you to do that. but not have something like where it's just, you know, trying to play, push it on you, like to buy like every time you like get back into the menu or something like that. Cause there are certain games that are like that, mainly like on the mobile front, but like we're, you know, we're seeing kind of more and more of that stuff kind of creeping its way into like, you know, into like the AAA games. I think Dead Space 3 had that issue before. So
yeah, just put it in the options menu, in the difficulty menu.
Yeah.
Normal, easy, hard, and like plus $5 fuck you mode.
Right.
Well, also there's also the other thing where, you know, where you put in the cheat menus and it totally disables any sort of trophies within the progression trophies within the game. Some yeah. games do that.
No, I think that'd be fine. Like that absolutely should be brought in so the people with trophies don't flip out. Like, but yeah, like there are games that already kind of do this. Like if you beat the game, it lets you go back and turn on this mode or that mode, or you could unlock this mode or that mode. Like,
yeah. Uncharted did a lot of that.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on. Let's talk about Epic buying Psyonix. This is interesting, and everybody got heated over this. So
why? Well, I know why. I know why. But I mean, it's good for a Psyonix. They're a small studio.
Yeah, Chris, go ahead, man.
No, I mean the fear is that they own Psyonix, so Rocket League will get pulled off Steam
eventually. And
yeah,
I thought they completed it.
By the way, just an update. Actually, let me just read the update. I'm reading this from Engadget. Epic has since clarified that it didn't make any definitive plans to remove Rocket League from Steam. And this is their quote. Long-term plans will be announced in the future, according to Epic spokesperson. We've updated the article accordingly, blah, blah, blah. Brian, go ahead, man, since you're the big PC guy here.
Yeah.
I thought that they already said that you won't be able to purchase it from Steam in the future. So if you still own it on Steam, it'll still be there, but you just can't purchase anything. Sorry, you just can't purchase it from Steam in the future.
Can I make a small comment? It's going back to the previous topic. Borderlands 3 is going to be exclusive to the Epic Game Store for like 2 years or for a year.
Wow.
Or
something.
Wow. Yeah, they said.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a full year.
April 2020.
Can I just say, fuck you, Epic Game Store. not representative of the podcast or the Throwdown or the Coalition anyway, but as a consumer, I just want to take the time to say fuck you.
Oh man. David, what do you think about this, bro?
I mean like with, you know, as far as like Epic buying Psyonix, I mean like that's just purely a business decision. I'm just really, really curious on what this means for like Rocket League or I mean, really just for Rocket League, because I think that's the only game that Psyonix came out with. Am I right?
Yeah, they had that basketball version. That didn't do well. But
let's all be honest here and call a spade a spade. This is a thinly veiled attempt to slowly move the captured audience of Rocket League off of Steam and onto a new platform to boost its numbers.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's certainly, like, a concern. Obviously, like, we don't know that yet, but I feel like that's a very real possibility. It's also a very real possibility, too, that they might come out with, like a Rocket League sequel of some sorts that is more, like, Battle Royale-ish in nature. I could certainly see that as well. Although I think the whole Epic Games Store thing, as far as, like, them trying to swallow up exclusives or, like, in, like timed exclusives anyway for games... I don't know. I mean, that's purely a business thing, and like it's obviously not like the best thing, I guess, for like consumers. But at the same time, at least with the Epic Games Store, it's not like it's a whole new piece of hardware they have to buy. It's just like a program that you have to download and, like, you know, basically like buy the games like on there. Like, you know, unless I'm like completely wrong, but like it's essentially like another Steam storefront, more or less. So like you just have to like basically download like the Epic Game Store, download the game and just play it on there instead of Steam. So I don't really have, I guess, much of an issue, I guess, with what Epic Game Store is doing, because it's not like they're like basically trying to sell you a whole new box that's like $300-$400 or whatever.
We talked about this last week, you know, and it was a big issue here, but it's mainly not even just that. It's just dividing up your library. That's what it comes down to. It's just like, hey, I have all my games on this one service. I'm used to it. I have my friends. Everyone's there. Now the next version in this series is going to be on another service. Now, hopefully my friends will jump over and it's not part of my collection. It's separate. And people that are into just having everything centralized, those are the ones that get frustrated because they're like, man, I spent hundreds, sometimes thousands of dollars getting all these games. And it's like, now I have this one that's missing from that series. and it's on this other launcher.
Sure. I mean, I think that's like just like the nature of like just gaming in general, especially when you're talking about like going from one generation to another, or like if you have like, you know, friends of yours who like say is like, oh, I'm going to play Destiny on Xbox One. It's like, well, we want to get it on PS4. And then you have that internal discussion as far as like, you know, how you're going to group up in order to like play these games together, especially when you're talking about these more multiplayer focused games. But as far as like having everything in one box, I mean, that's never really been the case anyway. So I'd make the argument that that's just the way things have always been. At least in this case, like I said, you only have to download the program as opposed to buying a $300, $400 box. So that's kind of like where I stand with it. I just don't see, I guess, as much of a of an issue with it, even from a consumer standpoint.
Yeah, I'm, you know, we got into arguing about this. I'm with you. I'm like, it's a fucking app, man. Just open a different app, you know. But we're not gonna go down. We're not gonna go down that road again.
I can summarize by just saying, PC gamers are fiercely loyal to their community, and they're very hostile towards any attempt to what they consider to be fracturing that community. The thing is that a lot of people don't think about is the goodwill of the community, especially in the gaming industry, and this baffles me, but they don't consider the goodwill of the community or how this is going to be received in any of their plans.
You know what's funny is that PC gamers are now experiencing what console gamers have experienced their entire lives.
That's what I said, you know?
So, I don't know.
Exactly. No, that hits the nail on the head. They're trying, as far as I understand it, they're trying to stop what happened to consoles from happening to PC.
Sure.
They don't, they're like, you guys are divided. We don't like that. And now it's being thrust upon us and we don't like that.
I mean, I find that to be like better overall, because at least you don't have Valve monopolizing the entire space. So at least you have more competition in that regard.
Yeah, that's what
We're okay with that. It's just the exclusive. That's the only shit.
Brian, go ahead.
At least like at least it's timed exclusive in this case. And again, I mean, like, you know, I hate to be like a broken record, but like at least you could download the app for free. You don't have to buy anything really for it. So
just saying. Brian, what were you gonna say, man?
Yeah.
Just add to what David just said, like, and that's exactly the issue here. That's the thing that I fear here. Like, so far, Valve has not responded with the same tactics, because essentially, Epic are trying to pave the way for that type of behavior to be acceptable. And then the issue is, when Valve starts doing it, then EA starts doing it, then Activision starts doing it, and then eventually, you just get a bunch of shit.
Yeah, everything's all divided up.
Yeah. But then we're like, oh yeah, you can only buy this game on this storefront and this game only on this storefront. And then no one wants that. That's the exact problem with Epic Store. Like, if it was available on everything but Steam, I don't think that anyone would really care that much. But it's the fact that it's only available on the Epic Store, that's the problem. Like, I have no issues buying games.
Isn't it timed exclusive, though? I think it's a time exclusive. Yeah. So, I mean, like at least it'll come to Steam eventually. Yeah.
It's taking away the choice of where consumers can buy from. Because, again,
sure.
I want everyone to have the choice to say, hey, Rocket League 2 is out. You can buy it on Steam, you can buy it on Epic Store, buy it on GOG, buy it on Uplay. Take whatever storefront you want.
Absolutely.
That way, everyone can choose, and hence the best storefront is usually the one with the best features, not the ones that only have that game for that time period.
Sure. I mean, like, I'm completely for that. And honestly, that's why there's been like the argument really for there to be some sort of unifying game box of some sort for like everyone to play like their Nintendo games or PlayStation games or Xbox games or Steam games all in one thing. It's just that that's not business. That's not how business works, unfortunately. And unless like the companies did come up with like some sort of like game plan where they could all basically, like almost like if you get like a DVD player, you could basically put whatever DVD that you want on there. There's no like exclusive movie to an exclusive, you know, exclusive player or whatever, you know. So
here's my counter to that.
Yeah,
you say it's not business and it doesn't exist in the real world, but right now it does for PC. Right now it does, and we're all kind of taking it as inevitability. Like, oh yeah, that's a fairy tale. That's not going to persist forever. But the PC gamers are trying to regain that, because right now, that does exist for PC, that weird, open, unified market. Like, I am still baffled by how PC gamers do it, but they have somehow, like, kind of built this weird anarchy utopia. It's horrible and awesome at the same time, but it's open, and it's weirdly free, and it's weirdly unified. It's happened right now. So, like, that's – and I'm not saying this challenge you, but I just – in the idea in general of – when people say like, oh, well, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't happen. Like, well, isn't it happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Aren't they? Supposed to make it. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, that's kind of the business of it, like, where, you know, Valve has had, like, a stranglehold on the PC market for all this time. Like, they basically monopolized the entire market. So, honestly, I am all for having some sort of, like, competition in that regard. And I know that's, you know, like, for people who are, like, PC fans, like, they've enjoyed, like, having, like, that one unifying storefront, more or less, through Steam. But now you have like more people who realize that like, oh, we kind of want like a piece of that pie now. Like, why does Valve have to have like everything in that regard? And honestly, like, you know, as far as like, you know, with me being more business minded, I guess, in that sense, I'm all for it, because it would, you know, it would actually benefit, I feel like, consumers, like, in the end anyway. You know, like, it's just like a matter of, you know, of like having it like where, you know, there might be like that competition where like, you know, Steam sales might not be enough, or where like Epic Games Store might offer something better than like, you know, than what Steam offers like in their Steam sales. Like, I'm just kind of like thinking in regards to like what the overall business model will kind of like relate to. And it's not too different, honestly, to, you know, to what we're dealing with as far as like the console space. It's basically, you know, moving that model over to the PC era. It's just that you don't have to buy another box in order to play all these games now.
Yeah, man, it's kind of interesting. But Brian, I do think that's a valid concern. Like, all these companies are like, okay, you can only play, you know, on our platform. So I could understand that. But right now, all you have to do is just, you know, just open up another app, basically. But definitely keep your eyes on them, for sure.
And then that's exactly how they fuck you over. It's like, oh, yeah, it's fine for now. You know, it's like the frog in the boiling water.
Yeah.
You know? It's fine for now. It's fine for now. And then, oh, you know, you're bored alive.
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't
a
valid
concern,
right,
honestly.
Yeah, no, it is. All right, David. We got to talk about what you want to talk about, man. The Sonic trailer. Yeah, we talk about Sonic. All right, so they finally released the Sonic the Hedgehog the movie trailer. I'm gonna finally say my piece
now
that on Twitter.
Is that what these pictures have been from?
That's yes. Coming.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't see it coming.
Oh,
man.
Oh,
God.
Oh,
a whole new world.
Yo, Brett, you're in for a treat, man.
Yeah.
By the way. No. Okay, we're going to get a real time reaction as I Google this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, by the way.
I mean, go ahead. I'm just going to.
Yeah, by the way, hopefully this video will not be stricken down by the Google gods. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But yeah, let's get reactions. And David, since you really wanted me to talk about this tonight, go ahead, man. What do you think of this trailer?
I mean, the trailer's not good by any means. I mean, namely, of course, like with the Sonic design itself, like, it's just not Sonic, period. It's just like some weird abomination that came from, you know, basically like deviant art, like, you know, as far as like how like Sonic looks and everything, like, it's like, you know, it's basically like how it looks. So, you know, there's that. I think Jim Carrey is pretty surprising, like, in it, like, as like Robotnik, because like he's, you know, like, he's basically tapping into his like Ace Ventura acting chops, more or less. Like, he's like this weird mix of like Ace Ventura and like that Lemony Snicket movie, I think, that, you know, that he was in.
Yeah.
And he eventually starts to look like they show him as fully as Robotnik. No,
at the end, it's a stinger trailer.
That was a reshoot, by the way. They brought him back in and made him look more like the game.
Oh, really?
He doesn't look anything like the game. There was a ton of reshoots for this movie. Cool. It's really over budget. And now if they go
back...
Is
it over budget? It seems like there wasn't enough of a budget put into it, at least going by the special effects. Like,
yeah. Well, I'm going by that. There's a long story about the movie, and there's like, I think Midnight's Edge talked about it, but Sony at one point had the rights to this, started development, dumped the movie, Paramount picked it up and started working with it. But think of all the work they've had to do with it. Test audiences hated it. They went and did reshoots, and the main complaint was it doesn't have any aspects from the game besides two characters. And one of them is just Jim Carrey being Ace Ventura, not
right,
Robotnik at all. You know?
I mean, I didn't have a problem with the version of him with the hair and everything like that. I'm like, okay, he looks kind of like it, but not. But I mean,
he's Jim Carrey, basically.
I think, to be honest, and out of all of the essentially rehashed CG movie plots, he's probably the best thing, and that's not saying much.
Yeah, yeah, and he definitely won't be able to like carry the movie by any means either. And also the main concern, obviously, is with like the design of Sonic itself. But at the very least, earlier today, we did get word from the director that they are actually looking to redesign Sonic. So there is that big win, at least.
Yeah, good.
So hopefully it's not as bad, or like maybe they're taking some tidbits, because there's been a lot of photoshopping like online as far as like people saying, like, this is how Sonic should look if you're going to have like a live action Sonic. And I've been doing like write-ups too, like on NintendoEnthusiast.com in regards to that 2013 fan film Sonic, which actually gets like the, you know, even though like the special effects aren't quite there because it's a low budget like project basically. Yeah. The actual design of Sonic and the setting of it, like not being like Earth, but like basically an Earth like place, whatever, just like how the Sonic games are, works and has like the heart of like what a Sonic movie should be, especially with like the design of Sonic, even though like the fur isn't quite there. And again, that's all less like, you know, because the low budget aspect of the movie. It was really interesting kind of like looking back at that after seeing this movie. It's like, wow, they kind of had it right like way back then.
You know, the one thing, I mean, to be honest, this movie is one of those sorts of like road trip sort of CG movies that, you know,
it's a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, it's a buddy cop movie. It's essentially, people have been comparing it to a film like Hop, which is essentially has the same actor in it.
Same director. Not the dream scene.
No, it's not the same director, but like the same shots, though. Same shots.
Yeah. A lot of the same sort of things. And you know why they do these things? Like they put them in the real world, because obviously it's incredibly cheap to just put a camera, put a camera somewhere in Atlanta, film a guy on a road, no sets needed, stuff like that. And I think that's what they're trying to do. This is one of those films that's trying to be that, those things that capitalizes on the fact that it's a well-known franchise, but they're not trying to put a lot of money into it. But obviously now they've been having to, you know, do reshoots and all kinds of other craziness to the film to try to get it to be, you know, to be bearable.
Right. Hey, Dave, I mean, I can go ahead.
Have you seen Into the Spider-Verse by chance?
Yeah, it's really good.
You say that was low. Budget.
No, I'm talking about this would be low budget. We're talking about a franchise that's $1 million franchise, which is not even a leap of faith with Marvel. You throw anything Marvel and they'll fucking put money on that shit. You throw something like Sonic out there, that's the same. I hate to say it, but it's on the same level as a Woody Woodpecker or the Yogi Bear movie or any one of those things that just take it. It's those things that are out there.
It's a harder sell.
It's those things that are out there that people know, people have and it's pretty well known, but it's not to the point of a Spider-Verse where they're going to throw thousands of dollars on it. That's why they made it into a road trip movie, and they just have it a mostly live action movie.
And recycling the same plot points as like every other movie like this, where you have like a CG character interacting with like a real life human on Earth.
I'm going to tell you what it is, and you don't even need to see the movie. This is Hop and Woody Woodpecker mixed together.
That's not a ringing endorsement, by the way.
Woody Woodpecker was horrible.
Yeah, so it's the same sort of idea. Then you get mediocre sort of actors, not mediocres, but not high on the food chain actors. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you know, Jim Carrey is known, but he's also damaged goods at the same time, especially with all this insanity that he was doing, you know, in the last few years, where he's like, you know, when his fiance passed away and he pretty much lost his mind. So the guy was damaged goods. So, okay, who can you get? Okay, well, people know who Jim Carrey is, right? You know, and he hasn't had anything going on now. He's pretty cheap right now. All right, let's throw him in there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Brian. Just to finish off what I was saying. So then you guys would not consider Into Spider-Verse to be low budget, right?
No, Into the Spider-Verse is not a low budget.
For the type of movie that it is, a CG movie, probably not.
It's a lot more expensive.
You can't really compare both, it. Yeah, go
they
ahead.
Both Brian. Have the same budget.
They both have the same budget now because Sonic had to go through all of its, you know, had to go through a bunch of reshoots and stuff. And fixes. The movie, obviously, in the beginning was probably never meant to be anything that was a lot of money. It was going to be a quick. It was essentially going to be quick and dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get my quick impressions?
Yeah, go
ahead. You just saw it fresh. It's out the oven. So yeah, please.
Y'all are being a little too nice.
Man. For the PC crowd.
I agree, Brett. Shit, this movie looks fucking terrible. I said it looks fucking horrible.
I already got my tickets on Fandango, so fuck all of you.
I didn't know you were a big Sonic fan like that.
Dude, this movie is like a failed abortion.
I take offense to that. My life has been hard enough, and I don't need you bringing up the past.
No, I mean that in the sense that this movie should have died several times. I do not know why it got made. It was conceptualized. No, it was conceptualized with the people who made the Fast and the Furious. So they were like, you know what we could do?
It was actually your good buddies who created Deadpool.
Yeah, Tim Miller.
Tim Miller started it, but he was off the project. That was back when.
So it started with Tim Miller and all the Deadpool folks that originally.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it took some horrible fucking turns.
And then I'm guessing that this was also part of the email leaks with Amy Pascal and all those Sony guys, right?
Well, she left, by the way. You heard about
so
that?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good for Sony.
this thing was one of those things that was leaked in that sort of situation, and this was also one of the things they just decided to kill. So this movie shouldn't have happened.
What I'm saying.
But Paramount picked it up and said, "All right, we have essentially a mostly finished production here. Why don't we just take it to the end and then that's it?"
Right.
Yeah, which was a poor decision.
I mean, I think that's why there is only so much money being put into it, is so as to kind of make it like a quick buck, and like it would certainly make sense too with like the low level CG that's being used, especially when you look at the Sonic design.
What you're forgetting is that Paramount is pretty much the only studio right now that is in a serious hole. They are $10 to $15 billion in the hole. Mm-hmm. They cannot take a loss on this movie.
I mean, it's not a huge movie for them, though. That's the thing. So, like, I feel like it's a write-off.
What else do they got? They lost every Turtles, Michael Bay Turtles movie was a loss. Transformers petered out, and Bumblebee was successful, but they lost a ton of money on Star Trek Beyond, which is why it's not a fourth movie. Mm. So they need a win with this. And this was coming out in November. I doubt now it's coming out in November anymore if they're going to do.
It might get delayed. Yeah, there hasn't been any like word about a delay, but it might because of like the redesign.
It's funny because all the leaks of all the licensing stuff that had been all out there, and then it's like everybody's still like, oh, well, maybe it'll be better. No. All the licensing shit. That's the way it's gonna look.
Right.
Yeah. Even, I mean, still issues.
Even the script actually looks worse.
even the script was leaked. Like the plot of this thing was, but and beforehand it was actually supposed to be Chris Pratt that was supposed to be in it as opposed to this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks Cyclops. Horrible. Yeah, Cyclops. Yeah, I saw that.
I'm sure he's getting paid, but I'm like, man, that dude. It's like
not gonna get paid as much as a Chris Pratt for sure.
You're not getting paid as much as a Chris Pratt. And then the other thing is, it's like, man, why are you in these lousy ass movies? You've done like three of these dumbass CGI movies in a row.
He is a C-list actor tier, basically, that is like perfect for these kinds of roles. And like, that's why I'm kind of intrigued by the movie.
What's
that?
It's like John Marston in this movie also.
Yeah, we just Adam, pay attention. We've been talking about
I drink a lot. I appreciate if you stop putting me down.
You either get this guy, you know, Cyclops, or you get friggin' Jason Lee from the Alvin and the Chipmunks. That's the sort of level you're getting.
Man.
Damn, son.
Was that the same guy from My Name is Earl or whatever?
Yeah,
that's right. My Name is Earl. Yeah.
Jason Lee. Right.
Skateboarder, had a skateboard company. He's also from Skate 3.
Yeah, and there's also another very interesting component to this whole Sonic movie. Manny, what's been going on YouTube, man?
So obviously, you know, all the YouTubers just like out there decided to do because it's also a video game related, and they decided to do a reaction thing. Mm-hmm. So pretty much every single YouTuber who's ever did a reaction video based on this movie has all received a copyright strike. This is from Yang Ye. This is Black Nerd. This is what's his face?
Angry Joe.
Yeah.
Everybody got one. Now I'm gonna say this.
Actually, Manny, tell him what happened with Yang Ye. That was like, tell him the whole
process of him. Yang actually uploaded his video twice. and they still caught him, sent a copyright strike his way. So he did one where it was like, okay, you know, one where he blurred out a little bit of the soundtrack, then it's, you know, the sound of it, then it got to go. Then he did it again, and then it did even more. So it's like, I think the thing is, it's not exactly, you know, I don't know, Chris, you know, in our private chat, you said that it was probably the, you know, the Gangster's Paradise thing. I think it's something more than that. I think it's actually the fact that it says Sonic Movie or something like that. I think that Paramount or YouTube was, this is just theory.
Well, no, but they were getting strikes from the record label.
They're trying to get against strikes from the record label. I also think they were probably getting strikes from Paramount for one reason, I think. It's because they probably want to control the traffic on that video. In other words, they don't want people clicking on derivative content. They want people clicking on the actual trailer where they can actually make some money off of it.
Right. Even though it's getting downvoted to hell.
Downvoting doesn't mean a goddamn thing. As long as you watch that, if you watch that video, no matter what, if you see the commercials that are connected to that thing, they've already made that money. It doesn't matter downvotes or upvotes. It doesn't matter.
Black Ops 4 had a ton of downvotes, and it still hit the top of the MPD, so people don't care.
So downvotes is just for, you know, it's just, you know, public opinion. But as long as you're watching, as long as you're seeing those commercials that are before and after the thing, they're like, we made our money. Whatever. Mm-hmm. They just want the money coming their way. They don't want the money going to all the other guys.
That's fair. Yeah. Does the record label, is that also under like the same umbrella as Paramount? Do we know? Or
what, Gangster's Paradise? I can't remember what movie that was. I know that the
whole trailer is basically like the song, more or less.
Yeah. I mean, it's
really understand at that point.
But didn't you think the song was like an odd choice?
It is an odd choice.
It is a super odd choice, yes. It, like, honestly, like, the only connection with that song, Sonic, is that the fact that they were both from the 90s. That is it.
Yeah, but why not use, like, The Offspring or Blink-182 or something that sounds like rock, which is in most of the 3D Sonic games.
Or something that's, like, sounds fast, like it's...
Or using a Michael Jackson song.
Well, yeah. I did come up with like some like song alternatives actually when I like wrote about this, because there's like Sabotage by Beastie Boys, Jump Around by House of Pain, and Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai.
Those are good choices,
like,
man.
I think those would be like other 90s songs that would work within a Sonic like, mm-hmm. like movie.
I don't think Sabotage would work because Star Trek abused the hell out of that song.
Oh,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
That's a good
but Hollywood is known for like abusing movie. Songs anyway. So
they could get away. Yeah. They already licensed it for Star Trek Beyond. So
that is also true. Yeah, my thing is like obviously you know like Manny, you're right. You know they probably just did they did do the movie on a budget. But like to me, I'm like if you were going to do a Sonic movie correctly, it should be like a Pixar SCG movie. You know, because it takes place in a fantasy world. It should be in our world. But, like it makes you think of the Mario Brothers movie. I'm like, what the hell is this?
But again. That costs serious money.
I said that would be ideal, but they're not going to do that because that would actually cost money, you know?
I mean, come on, like literally, like, you know, Disney literally animated the best version of Sonic in a movie, right? With the Wreck-It Ralph version of him, right?
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
I mean, everybody wants to see that version.
Yeah,
of
but it ain't going to happen. Yeah, it ain't going to happen.
And the hilarious thing is that also Sega, within their own company, makes really amazing CG films. Like, in fact, they did, like, this was, I don't know how what the release was this, but you remember that stupid, the Werehog movie, game, Sonic Unleashed?
Yeah.
They actually did a really fun little CG movie based on that. I'm like, wow, if this wasn't the stupid werewolf hedgehog, this would be a fun little movie to throw out in the theaters.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
It's like they could have internally created an hour long feature, kind of like what Capcom was doing with their Resident Evil films, right? They were having ones that were made directly from Japan and just having
the 3D animated ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have done that. I mean, and then that would have been just as it. It was like, granted, I'm sure those Resident Evil movies don't have the budget of like a Pixar film, but you don't need to be, it doesn't exactly need to be that. It just needs to be, you know, decent.
I mean, I feel like those movies were only made as like an alternative for like the hardcore fans when like the other movies, like the live action movies, were like so popular and they were still being made. It's like, well, you know, at least we know that people watch Resident Evil movies, so we could take a risk with this as far as like, you know, appeasing more to the hardcore crowd. So,
yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on here. And we got to do this because you guys are going to kill us if we don't. We got to do those Sony financials. Now, y'all, basically, David, last week we were talking about the financials for Nintendo and Microsoft. Sony didn't have theirs out yet, but now they're out. Actually, they put theirs out on Friday. We air on Thursday. So, wonk, wonk. So now you get to experience something that our fans love, Chris's charts. Chris, take it away.
Okay, so... Get my sheets together.
Man, you got the spreadsheet and everything.
Yeah, man. They love this shit, dude.
Yes, I did a breakdown. You have to remember, Nintendo, all they do is their games, right? Sony is a giant global company that has everything from PlayStation, movies, music label, TV and stereos, semiconductors. They even offer life insurance. There's a Sony financial service sector, and I read the report, and I was like, Sony offers freaking life insurance in Japan.
That's crazy.
So they have their hands in a lot of stuff. So I had to look at the report carefully and break down by group. Now, in the report, they call PlayStation gaming and network services. And then there's the Sony Music, Sony Pictures, Sony Home and Entertainment, Sony Imaging, which is the cameras. They're mobile, which I think on here is the weakest performing part of the company right now. Mm-hmm. But if you look at this, the report shows last fiscal year and this current ending fiscal year. And PlayStation actually grew by almost 19% year over year in net sales. And if you look at right here, this is the current year. They're over one quarter of Sony's revenue comes from PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, I mean, it's more, if you add up the music, Sony Music and Sony Pictures, it doesn't add up to the revenue generated by PlayStation.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's been like a huge problem, like Sony for like a while, just like their PlayStation brand really. And like, that's kind of like attributed to like how well that they've been killing it in this generation. Cause like PlayStation 4 is still selling like gangbusters right now.
Think about it. It grew 19%. That's insane. Like, this is a console that's about to pretty much kind of die soon, you know, but
yeah,
maybe, I guess it isn't. Anyway, go on, man. Like, I'm just looking at this. Like, I figured like it would be maybe up 5%. No, 19%. It's crazy.
Yeah, whereas you have like mobile, and I don't know why Sony hasn't just divested this part, but that dropped over 30% year over year. I mean, do you know anyone with an Ericsson phone or anything? So, honestly, I don't know why that's like lagging. And the one they complain about, I remember when before Kasarai stepped down, he was complaining about the TVs, and he was saying they were looking to get out of that market. Yet that market is improved for them. It's still a revenue maker. It dropped a little bit, but it still makes more revenue. It certainly makes more than Sony Pictures, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's not where they're hurting. Where they're hurting is kind of mobile and imaging, which people are not buying their cameras either. Camera competition. I'm not even getting into that stuff, but they're not doing well in that. So Nikon and Canon are on top of that mountain.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's amazing to see though, like how badly like that, like the mobile side of things are doing for them. And I mean, like it just kind of like reminds me, honestly, like when I was playing like one of the Splinter Cell games, and they had Sam Fisher using like a Sony Ericsson's phone. And so I guess so those like in-game ads didn't exactly work out for them.
Yeah, right. I mean, where's Sony Vaio right now, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I used to have a Sony Vaio, and that thing was a piece of shit, and I got rid of that thing as soon as possible.
Same result.
Yeah,
I think the biggest problem with a lot of Sony's like just consumer devices is that they're overly priced, and a lot of them are not very well made.
Right.
Like, in other words, like let's say if they were doing something like along the level of like a Vizio, right? Or Vizio is, it's like essentially Vizio and LG are killing it right now, and those are like, you know, they're pretty decently priced televisions and you know things that are being made. What if Sony started doing that sort of stuff? I feel like they would probably get it would be able to expand their home entertainment market a little bit better. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, just to put this in perspective, if you think about it, like, so the net sales for, I'm always ragging on Sony Pictures. I'm going to keep ragging on them. they generated $8.85 billion this fiscal year. PlayStation generated $20.7 billion.
Damn.
Dollars. So just to put that in perspective, so like I know Spider-Man is there, they'll never let go of that, right? That's why I think that's the only reason they don't chop up Sony Pictures into pieces and sell it, you know. But honestly, like, man, they just
I mean, you know what I think actually is, like, the bulk of that PlayStation revenue is from, like, the console sales themselves, obviously, but also because of PlayStation Network subscriptions.
Of course, yeah.
That is a huge, huge part, especially because of the fact that you need a subscription in order to play online. So everyone's just like, oh, okay, well, I need to play online, so just pay for it, whatever. And it's just like a monthly thing, and they just buy it. So yeah, I can see that being like a huge part of it, probably like the biggest part of it, honestly.
Oh yeah, and of course you got game sales as well, like digital game sales, you know, because they get a cut off of that for sure. And not a lot of people consider us like, yeah, PlayStation Network, man, is fucking huge. Chris, did they say anything about PlayStation Network in here, or is this all lumped together?
It's lumped together. So this is pretty much all you get for talking about PlayStation Network is. Their increase in sales and operating revenue is mainly due to significant increase in sales in the game and network services segment. And that's PlayStation, basically. So that's all how they refer to it. They don't break down what part of the segment grew or, you know, what sales were, because literally they have to talk about every segment. So they talk about it compared to the mobile communications segment, or the fact that they lost money because Sony Music acquired EMI. You know, this report is just full of stuff. It's easier to read than Microsoft's, but they have their hands in so many things that you don't get details on the things we care about, which is PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Chris, one quick thing for Glorious War. And by the way, Glorious War, thank you for the bits, the 100 bits there. He really wanted me to read this. No, that's not true for Sony camera and TVs and headsets are top of the line and price well. Okay, he disagrees then. He thinks
top of the line and
yeah, if they're top of the line and price well, why aren't they doing better, bud?
I'm just showing you the numbers here. I'm not making a judgment on.
Why are you hiding everything, Chris? Why are you hiding that? You know it's the real sheet. Stop pulling the Mueller report. Show us the real shit.
Mueller report. Hey, listen. I think that a lot of what the issue with Sony is that they spread themselves way too thin, and I think that, you know, closing down a lot of their different arms is probably a way to make their company a little bit more profitable. And it, you know, that's it.
And I'm showing you right here, the home and entertainment dropped 5.5% over last year. Mobile dropped over 30%. They had cameras, yes, that increased 2.2%, you know, so that improved a little. But, I mean, their stuff is top of the line, sure, but you look at pricing, Bravias are way more expensive than, like, an LG, right? How well is LG doing in TV sales versus Sony? Probably a lot better. They're priced a lot better. So does Samsung.
Yeah,
Samsung's still priced under.
Yeah, he says that they did grow in the past 5 years.
Well, I don't have data for 5 years. I only have data from last year and this year. That's I'm looking at the current report. So if you wanna compare the trends, it's still they are from last year they dropped, right? TV sales dropped. And so did mobile sales. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, that's not the numbers I'm focusing on. I'm just telling you from this, right? I'm focused on PlayStation. But yeah, looking at these, I plotted everything out. I grouped it. There's mobile right there. There's home and entertainment. It dropped from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't have grown the last 5 years. It obviously just dropped.
Yeah, numbers don't lie, man. Numbers don't lie.
Just people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, Chris's favorite line is numbers don't lie, but people can use numbers to lie. So,
right. You know. Yeah.
And Randy Pitchford.
Tried... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's he's changing the definition of microtransactions. It's like, well, fuck, we know what that means.
Yeah. So. Like, he has his own definition of them.
Yeah. And I don't want to bore. I could sit here. Here's the numbers. Here's the unredacted report right here. If you want
to. Oh, shit. Oh, damn. We're getting a clean one.
You know, so you can see right for, and this is in yen. I converted everything to dollars, but this is in yen. So you can see, just from last year, over last year, this year, this quarter, and here's the growth of Gamer Network versus music. Here's pictures with slight growth, and then you have Loss. Where's Loss? Mobile communications, mm-hmm. huge. Semiconductors dropped a little bit. Their financial services dropped, but overall, their financial services, and I don't know anything about that. That doesn't exist in America.
That's right? The life insurance stuff, yeah.
Life insurance probably exists in Japan. It makes a ton of money.
Mm.
It makes a good amount of money.
I guess it makes sense, like when you have like these big like companies that are known for being like, you know, game studios or game making like companies or whatever, kind of get into like other things, to venture into other things. Because I know Konami is, you know, the exact same way. Like Konami has mm-hmm. so many different types of businesses, it's insane, and they only existed over in Japan. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like the part of the Nintendo report I don't really read or get into. Nintendo in Japan owns hotels.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a part of their
love real hotels. Love hotels. Mamma mia.
So yeah, I don't get into that stuff. So just doing an overall look at net sales of Sony as a whole. I am here, so you can see they had a slight growth in their net sales, but after they had a huge tax hit last fiscal year. So their operating income and their net income this year is way higher. So you can see their net sales only grew about 1.5%. But if you look at net income, it's up 76.6%, right? And that's because, I don't know, last year they had some huge impact from, I think, Sony Music. They said they acquired EMI and there was some bullshit with that, so I don't know if that had something to do with it. They also took a huge tax hit, but this year they didn't have a tax hit, so they ended up with a way bigger total net income after taxes.
You gotta talk to Trump about that then. Yeah.
By the way, if you have like Sony life insurance, when you die, do they have like a PlayStation logo on your coffin? Like, how does that
work? Of course. And they give your surviving family members like a free year of PlayStation Plus.
We are sorry for your loss. Yeah,
and you know it's in the will. That they could probably transfer your digital collection over. So
priorities. The priorities.
Nobody gonna make a game over commercial.
Oh no! Yeah, we're sorry for your loss. Here's a free copy of Into the Spider-Verse. You know.
Yeah.
they send over a Nathan Drake cosplayer to conduct the ceremony.
Yeah, Carlos, what's up?
Yo, man, the tombstone's not going to have the PlayStation logo. It's going to say greatness awaits.
Oh, damn.
All right, man. Chris, as always, man, thank you for the charts. The fans loved it, as always, which is awesome. All right. Okay, speaking about Sony, we got to talk about this nonsense. Tell me if this sounds familiar. So the PlayStation 5 and Secret Sauce.
Oh, so the
Szechuan sauce?
We're getting a mirror version of Bizarro World.
Yeah. Chris, what's going on, man? What is this? Like AMD, you know, representative said something about secret sauce or something.
Oh yeah, 5. No, this is the AMD CEO. What's her name? Lisa Su. She had an interview, and I guess she talked to Jim Cramer, and. I mean, she used the exact words. She said, what we have done with Sony is really architect something for the application for their special sauce, right? So, I mean, she knew exactly what she was doing. She's going to get everybody talking about this. She's gonna have ponies just settling up and riding. Oh, this secret sauce is great. There you go. There's everybody's button heads now. So, I mean, she knew exactly what she was doing because that's only going to make their stock go up.
Or that could just be her lingo. You know, some people have certain keywords that they always say.
That's what I'm thinking personally. Yeah. Business lingo.
No, exactly. I don't know because I've heard her talk. I never heard her use the words special or sauce. So, I mean, this is very interesting.
Some kind of sauce. I don't know what, though. Yeah. But.
No, I mean,
maybe that's the name. PS5 is not PS5. Sony's special sauce edition. Oh. You know,
I mean, my spicy take on it is that
spicy sauce.
You get me hungry. Sauce, spice.
She said this.
Indian food, I guess.
Tom Yum soup.
this is really, I mean, when you talk to guys like Jim Cramer, you're really talking to your investors. So yeah. She just did it to just boost their stuff. But talking about that relationship with Sony and then that, you know, secret sauce, of course, investors are going to go, oh my God, the PlayStation 5 is going to be so amazing. And it's using AMD tech, put more money into it. Mm-hmm. So that's really why she said it. What she meant by special sauce, no idea.
I'm thinking about, like, remember how, like, the Xbox One secret sauce ended up being fucking ketchup? Like, it was nothing, you know?
Yeah, you ran.
So we'll see about Sony.
We'll see. Things, if other people start referring to it as secret sauce, then we know. But I think that's just her wording.
I think it's hilarious. But like, and I haven't seen the chat on this yet, you know, the chatter, I should say, on Twitter. But I want to see these Sony guys that were making fun of Microsoft's secret sauce going, oh, my God, Sony has secret sauce. It's amazing. Like, all right,
yeah, Tony, you're such an Xbox fanboy. Come on.
Oh, God. All right. Let's move on now. This isn't like big stuff here, but it's worth mentioning anyway. We got to talk about Anthem and BioWare, man. Things ain't looking good. Two things happened this week. The first one is BioWare has pretty much abandoned Anthem. Like, listen, we're just going to forget about Anthem. We're going to focus on Dragon Age 4. They said it like out of their mouth. So
where you go, BioWare?
I guess I'll be in a bargain bin for Plus next week, right?
Damn.
And then the other part is, and then we know we'll talk about both of them together, the player base for the game has plummeted so badly. The last time they checked the numbers on Twitch, it was 69 players.
69 players.
Damn.
So, or not so nice. Yeah. And one of those was like Hip Hop Gamer too.
Yeah, right.
That's a taboo. That's a taboo number now. Did you hear about Jeopardy? They removed, you can't bet 69 anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And this week they announced you can't bet 69 because of all the, you know, innuendos.
Too much innuendo.
So yeah, and this goes back to what we've discussed, you know, pretty much before Anthony came out. It's like, this is not going to look good for BioWare, man. Like, I think Dragon Age 4, when they released the Dragon Age 4 logo, Brett, you said your way, I say it my way, which is the correct way. But I do like saying Dragon's Age because that's kind of the throwdown way to say it now. Yep. But anyway, so
when Dragon's the game.
Yeah, so when they put out that logo, because that's all we got from them, I was like, that seemed to me like a desperation move. That, like, guys, don't worry, don't worry. We got something that you actually want to play. But again, I'm still like, yo, this game didn't do well. Dragon Age doesn't do well. I think that's it for BioWare. You know how EA is. Yeah. They're fucking ruthless, you know? Yeah. This is bad,
I
man.
I don't even know if that'd be ruthless at that point. I might be just trying to put him out to pasture.
I could have swore we heard that this was a make or break. Remember right before that presentation they did in the summertime?
Then they wheeled back on. They backed them on it. Said, no, we're coming out with Dragon. Like, somebody at the company panicked that Anthem wasn't going to do well, so they put Dragon Age into development before the investors' hammer could come down. Like, which pretty much, like, that's how I view it, at least. So it's pretty much like, yes, Dragon Age is their last chance to prove that they can do it, because they had said that they were going all out before, and then mysteriously, right before this thing visually flopped, they're like, hey, everybody, don't worry, Dragon Age is still coming out.
So I guess what we're looking at here is kind of like baseball rules then, because obviously Mass Effect Andromeda did not do well. Anthem did not do well. If, you know, Dragon Age 4 doesn't pan out for them either, I mean, yeah, it could be three strikes and you're out, BioWare. So I don't know. I'm really concerned, honestly.
Yeah, so am I. And then, you know, if you take into account, like, EA has had a bunch of flops in, like, short succession.
Yeah,
so I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, EA. I see them cutting their losses, man.
I feel like EA just kind of like puts too much of like a stranglehold on like these studios, and like to kind of like make them kind of like make their games in a certain way, you know. And like you always kind of like hear stories about it, but the, you know, obviously it doesn't really kind of come out in like in the public eye. But I don't know. I'm just really kind of skeptical, I guess, with what's going
to
happen here.
Yeah, the whole Four Cinema used the Frostbite engine. Like, you know, BioWare's had problems with that fucking engine, you know?
That was one of the things, like, inside, like, people were like, complaining about, I remember. Yeah,
trying to save money. So I'm like, oh, just use the engine that we have. It's not that good. Shut the fuck up and use it.
Use Unreal, man. Come on.
They were using Unreal before.
If you want Jenny and Timmy to still have a job back there, do you care about their kids? Then fucking use this shit.
It's crazy. So yes, how to throw out there. Anthem, man, that's it. They abandoned it. It's done.
You know? And Apex Legends is having a huge drop off, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear about that.
People
bitching about like the updates and not getting them as frequently. They're expecting that Fortnite experience, and we already hear they're cracking the whip on everybody that's behind the scenes at Fortnite. So
I mean, if you want that Fortnite experience and play Fortnite, because Apex Legends is kind of meant to be like almost that Fortnite / Overwatch kind of like hybrid, which didn't personally work for me. But it was very popular, and I guess people just grown tired of it already. Or also there was also the whole like the streamers that they paid to like play that game, like when it first came out.
That's right. Yeah.
And the money well ran out in that case. So now they can actually say what they actually think about the game, or in this case, just drop the game entirely
and just go back to Fortnite.
Exactly. There you go.
And it's funny because for me and Tony, when we played it, it was like the most tolerable, all of the battle royale games.
And we hated it.
We hated it.
Yeah, I played you too, Tony. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was right. Yeah,
I played your like cousin or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty funny because like we weren't on the microphone. They were like, "Who is this dude playing?"
Yeah.
That was funny, man.
Rage quit an hour in. I was like, "Yo, where the mechs guy next to me?" There's no mechs in this guy. I was like, "Fuck you, I'm out."
Yeah. Well, it's not Titanfall, so yeah.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I want to give a shout out to my friend Paul Amadeus Lane. I always see him at E3 and stuff. Manny, you know him. We always run into him. By the way, Manny, he wanted me to tell you that to him, he calls you Mr. Cool because that's how you are on Twitter. You know, you always keep your cool on Twitter.
Thank you. I want to thank him.
Yeah.
Not keeping you cool now, though.
Yeah. And not in the real world. Flustered, you know, but he's like, he's like, hey, man, tell Emilio he's Mr. Cool, man. I always see him on Twitter, and he's always cool, man.
Yeah, real world. If you're standing next to him, man, he starts getting hot.
I'm not getting heated on the Twitter.
Yeah, but
you come to my timeline, it'll be a nice smooth ride. You'd be like, yeah.
So
anyway, so the reason I'm shouting him out is because the next topic that we're gonna talk about, I did on his show, The Tech Zone, which I believe is gonna air this weekend. You know, it's a little interview and stuff, but this was very interesting. So this was the headline. This is from who is this Digital Trends, which is not a small site. Mm-hmm. 20 million PC gamers could defect from PCs to consoles by 2022. I was like, what? That sounds insane. So basically the rundown is that, you know, and this is talking about specifically about PC gamers that have rigs that are under $1,000, are saying as consoles become better, you know, more stronger, cheaper, like, you know, those guys that are still on PC on the lower end of the spectrum are going to just go to console. But obviously, the guys that are on the higher end of the spectrum, they ain't going nowhere. They're going to keep PC gaming and stuff. So, Brian, I want to get your specific take on this since you're a resident PC gamer here.
Lol, what?
Whoa.
Bam.
Like, where's this coming from? Like, where's this? Like, where's the survey? Where's the charts?
Yeah, where are these numbers? Where are they getting these numbers from?
Yeah, you can check out the article, but yeah, it's from John Peddle Research. That's the name of the firm doing this, and according to their research, that's where the trends are going now.
Are these the same guys that think that console gaming is dying?
They could be,
like,
you know.
Like, I'm just saying, like, always like this weird, dying, yeah. This weird trend. It's like, okay, so you're trying to tell me that at a time when PC gaming is at its all-time highest, I think that Valve just said that they got their like 1 billionth account or something like that, or they hit some sort of stupid milestone. You know, Steam charts says that there's more guys on Steam now than ever before. So again, it's growing, but somehow they're going to defect and move over. Like, okay.
Yeah, in the next 3 years, 20 million PC users are going to just stop PC gaming and go to consoles. You know, go ahead.
Okay, it is the start of the new gen, so I can see them like going over or making the purchase. But after that, they'll jump back because that's what they do. You know, they jump on for the new gen, stay there for a couple of years, then jump back.
I mean, so I think it'll just be like a temporary thing, and yeah, like that's why realize the PS4, experience is more for them on the PC side.
Yeah, that's what the PS4 Pro was meant to do, like to stop that from happening. Like that's literally the message statement for that. So, like, I don't know. I'm seeing two different things here. Like this guy saying, "Oh yeah, this like they'll go back to console, but then it's like Sony are leasing stuff to stop people from going away from console. So it's like, I don't know. I don't think so.
Let me read this quick quote. This is what the guy says. He goes, the PC market continues to decline because the innovation that took place in the past, providing speed ups and clever new things, all stopped. Plus, the production introduction times are stretching out to 4 years. What do you say about that?
Maybe for the people that are on the low end or people that aren't fully taking advantage of the pros, they'll jump over. But
yeah, this is who they're specifically addressing. They said the higher end guys above 1,000, they're not going nowhere. They're staying right there. You know, guys like you ain't going nowhere. You know.
No, I'm not going anywhere. Okay. It just seems like, okay, so then they're going to get the people that aren't fully invested and aren't taking advantage of the pros of PC gaming. That's fair enough, you know. Again, they aren't taking the advantage. Maybe they want a simpler life. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But then what about the people going the other way, you know? What about the people that buy the next gen and it's like, hey, you know what, this next gen thing ain't all that. I'm going to go over to PC where I can get more, you know? So I don't know. I'm just kind of like in the state of this is another this platform X is dying type thing. It's like, okay, cool. I see them like every 2 years, so I'll just ignore that.
Yeah, Dave, you have any thoughts on that? Because it sounds weird, doesn't it? Like you figured it'd be the other way around, you know?
Well, I mean, I can certainly see people like defecting over to like consoles if they're just like not that, I guess, like invested in PC gaming. Like if they're just doing PC gaming because they just don't want to pay for like, say, like another box. Like, you know, say, for example, like they wanted to play like Cuphead before it came to Switch and it was an Xbox One exclusive. But it was also on Steam. So if you don't have an Xbox One and you don't want to buy an Xbox One or do that, you know, at least there was that, you know, that option. But I feel like now that like as like consoles are becoming more and more like PCs anyway, you know, I can certainly see more people kind of like defecting over if they're just not already like invested as far as like, you know, getting the super high end, you know, as far as like PC gaming goes. It's just the sheer number of people kind of like staggers me a little bit, you know, like just 20 million. Like that's a lot. And I can certainly see like most people who are into PC gaming probably aren't on that like super high end. Like those are really the kind of like the vocal minority who are all like PC Master Race, whatever, you know, like with all that stuff. But like otherwise, I feel like other people, like, you know, they'll play on PC because of the convenience of it. Like they have a PC already and they just buy games and Steam is there, whatever. So, but yeah, and I don't know. It's just really interesting. And I do feel like that more people will probably defect as like we'll see like these more. Maybe like it's going into like the next generation, because like, you know, if refer back to the previous story, there was the PlayStation 5, which is supposed to have like a solid state drive and like 8K resolution, all that stuff. So yeah, so it's becoming more and more like a computer in that sense, and even maybe like, you know, some of the things that like it offers as far as like, you know, perks and all that.
Yeah, and the article was also talking about how you know, TVs are getting better for gaming, so that could impact things as well. Because the thing's always been like, hey, monitors are better than TVs to play games. But now they're saying that TVs are going to get better to play games. I don't know. It's interesting.
It is interesting. I don't think it's going to be that many people. Like 20 million sounds like a lot. But I could certainly see like maybe like 5 to 8 million or something like that. I could maybe see that. So.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on that, guys? I'm going to take that as a no. So we'll go on to the last thing. This one's a little disturbing. We got to talk about it because, you know, it's relevant to us. Okay, so we got to talk about Etika. Etika, well, formerly one of the biggest Nintendo YouTubers out there. Joy-Con boys, you know, he's that guy. You know, he's been fun, but lately he's been having some issues, man. Manny, you were telling us about all the stuff that was going on with him. So what's happening with Etika? Like, just this week alone, what happened with this guy?
Well, earlier this week, he was doing a stream on his, you know, with, I can't remember, for a Periscope, and, you know, a lot of people were worried about him because he started making these claims. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to do my this. I'm going to do this whole stuff. And then, you know, obviously somebody who was worried about him decided to call the cops on him. And they, you know, obviously told him what was up. And then, then they're during this Periscope thing, you see that he's going into the door and he's, you know, seeing that he looks out the window and he sees like a SWAT team roll up. And then they essentially break the lock off his door. And then, you know,
and then kill him. They kill him.
they come. Well, he essentially gives up because, you know, obviously doesn't want. He's afraid of what it is. And then, you know, after that, they let him go because, you know, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. And then he literally, you know, not long after, he literally gets into a fist fight with a police officer close to Central Park. Not to mention before that, which was he was also making claims about wanting to kill himself. If you guys don't know, is probably one of the biggest, formerly one of the biggest Nintendo YouTube streamers in a long, you know, he had a lot of numbers, and he totally sabotaged that by posting like hardcore sex videos on his YouTube, which they closed that down. Mm-hmm. Then he made some sort of crazy comments, which closed off his Twitch. So the guy's like in like almost like in meltdown mode right now. Mm-hmm. His friends have said that he's had all kinds of issues, and they've been trying to help him address them and all kinds of other stuff. So he has a lot of issues, and it's sad because obviously it seems like he has some sort of, you know, mental problems that are not getting addressed. The reason why they didn't keep him after they took him away is because he didn't show any of these sorts of symptoms to the people while he was there. Usually in New York State, which is where this is happening, in New York City, when you are taken away, when you have an outburst like that, they usually keep you overnight for observation. That didn't happen with him. So obviously he wasn't showing any sort of
if they'll let them go, if they have family. Did he have any family?
No. Family sometimes, yeah, that doesn't. If they see the person is a danger to themselves or to the people in the family, they'll keep them. So it's a pretty crazy sort of situation. And I wish the one thing about mental disease and mental disorders and stuff like that is if a person, you know, people who have it obviously don't think that they have a problem. They think everybody else is the problem. And it is the hardest thing for someone like that to understand that they may be the one that has the issues and, you know, seek help. But a lot of times it tends to happen when they tend to fall, you know, and, you know, it becomes worst case scenario. And I think a lot of people are trying to stop the worst case scenario from happening, you know, even though he did just punch a fucking cop in the street.
Right. And like, you know, just like, I don't really know too much about Etika. Like, I've heard his name around here and there, but I don't know a lot about him personally. But knowing that he is a young black man and doing that, he is very, very fortunate, considering a lot of like other young black people in this country, what happens to them when they get into any sort of altercation with a cop.
I think that also people might, you know, the first situation, people might misconstrued that situation as something as him being, you know, being black, where, you know, the SWAT team shows up to this house and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And to understand the New York State laws nowadays, that they do not kind of joke around when it comes to people with mental disorders. This is a little bit of inside baseball thing, but the reason why New York State is this way is because of my cousin and Adam's stepsister. She's an EMS worker, and she was brutally beaten up by a person. You know,
she picked one up, and she had him in the back, and it was just her in the back with him, and then of course the guy driving, and then all of a sudden he just raged out and just started smashing her face.
Yes. Jeez. So that because of that situation, that is why New York City does not joke around when it comes to people like that. If a person is said that they are you know, trying to kill themselves in some way, or you know, a danger to a bunch of people, they'll send over the heavy duty cops to detain that person. So yeah,
it's sad because again, Chris and I, we always enjoy this guy's videos because he's just so over the top and hilarious, you know? Like, first video I saw with him, like, you know, the Joy-Con boys, man, that was just so funny. Like, somebody built him, like, a fake Switch and stuff before the Switch even came out. Like, it was just a mock-up of what the Switch was supposed to be. So he had one, and people were like, how did he get a Switch? What's going on? And he was, like, he was just yelling and stuff, and he does a lot of reactions. I was watching his reaction, you know, because he always does the reactions to Nintendo Directs, and one of them was for Persona 5, right? Or, you know, wink, wink, Persona Persona 5.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
So the video starts off, he's like, I don't know why you guys get so hyped. Like, you don't need these games to be on the Switch. You don't need these games. Like, just get on other consoles. So as soon as they show Persona, he's like, oh, shit, it's coming to Switch. It's coming to Switch. And then as soon as it says Xbox, he's like, oh. he literally said, don't get hyped, and he got hyped, you know. Even Howard Stern was talking about him, you know. He was like, is he allowed to, because Etika uses, you know, he says the N-word a lot, so he was like, is he allowed to say that? Like, Howard didn't understand it, you know, so yeah, kind of sad. And then, you know, here's the thing, and Chris, I want your take on this. Like, some people are saying that this is all a publicity stunt. What do you make about that?
I don't know. I don't think he's faking that.
I mean, what kind of Manny. What
now
kind
when
of,
you get law enforcement involved?
Yeah. What kind of publicity stunt involves you destroying your livelihood, which is essentially his YouTube and his Twitch account?
Oh, yeah. That's what people aren't looking at. They're looking at this like, oh, he's doing a publicity stunt. It's like his YouTube account is gone. He destroyed it, and his Twitch is now down too. So. I don't see how this helps him.
Yeah. No, it doesn't help him. He's obviously in somehow there's something going on with him, and obviously he doesn't think there's anything wrong with him, and he's just going all over the place. I don't think this is a situation of him pulling a Jackass. Seriously.
I mean, it just kind of goes to show that there does need to be more of a focus on helping people with mental instability or mental issues in this country. And unfortunately, you know, this person is just like another example of that. And
the one thing about mental disorder, you know, you can hit the sad thing about it all is that, you know, you could have a horrible disease. You could have a horrible, like, you know, disease that, you know, makes you, you know, it's slowly killing you, and everybody's okay. Hey, oh, you know, everybody gives that person support. But the moment that a person is a little bit nuts, right? All right. Then all of a sudden everybody wants to stay away from that person. And yeah, that's, I think that's the biggest issue with it all. It's not the fact that it's like, you know, at least, you know, with somebody who's physically sick in some way, you can see that. But with mental disorder, people can go on with this sort of stuff and not even know it. And then they just have an outburst and everybody wants to leave them alone.
Right. Because they don't want to like deal with it basically. And
exactly. They don't want to
deal with issue. Yeah. Because,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. And that's like why, like when, you know, if there is like recognition that like someone is going through like a, you know, some sort of like mental breakdown or like mental instability or whatever, mental illness, really, I should say, that they do need some sort of like support group or like, you know, some other like, I guess, like third party may, you know, possibly come in order to help that person, mm-hmm. you know, to do what they need to do in order to kind of take care of themselves. Because, you know, it's just like, honestly, like, you know, as you said, like, you know, like, you know, people can go on for like so long with like these like illnesses with like the mental illnesses and like without even like realizing it, and like other people not even realizing it, just thinking it's like, oh no, you know, he's just kind of, you know, like he's a little quirky or whatever, like that's just like his personality, when really there's like some, you know, there's something deeper going on there.
Exactly. So. And I mean, to be honest, I don't know how what the effect of, you know, even just doing those sorts of YouTube videos or kind of having that sort of external personality, how that even affects.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, how much of like, you know, the whole online personality thing, like, you know, because obviously I don't think it made him that way. It probably just maybe magnified what was already inside of him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, you know, does being out there, putting yourself out there like that affect you if you already have these sort of problems?
There has been other well-known YouTubers that have kind of essentially pretty much fell apart, like very similar to this guy. But unfortunately, Etika's doing this, it's all happening up in the forefront. People are getting him in videos out in the streets and stuff like that. Whereas a lot of the other YouTube videos were a very sort of, they kind of faded away, or some of them essentially, unfortunately, you know, killed themselves.
Yeah, well, you're right. Where Etika is very public, what's going on with him, you know?
No, it's all out in the open. People are getting in the streets and stuff like that. I mean, I've never seen anything like that before, where it's like there's so much coverage of it. Where, like, you know, usually where it's like a person has mental disorder, mental stuff, they kind of disappear, or you don't hear from them ever again, or somehow, you know, or some other thing you find out later on after they've gotten help. Yeah, I've had all these issues. You know, because it's not on the same level, but a guy like Mark Summers, right? The guy who used to run Double Dare, right? Who's the host of Double Dare. That guy had some quite serious issues, you know, is very serious issues. And he suffered with this alone, and he didn't, you know, he didn't, but it wasn't out there and open until later, years later. He writes a, you know, he did interviews on it, and he wrote a tell all about what his problems were.
Right. They brought him back. He's back with Double Dare now.
Yeah, because like it, honestly, like it sounds like because of all the, of all this being like out in the open, it's like so public. People are making videos or whatever. It just sounds like people are more willing to extend out to him as far as like getting like their clicks, their views, and all that. Not necessarily extending out to actually give him some proper help. And like that's, you know, again, falls into the seriousness of the mental illness in general in this country. So
yeah, it's a weird sort of thing. Like you see a lot of people like saying, "Hey, you should get some help," blah 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 blah, and then immediately after, "Hey, subscribe to my Patreon,"
right? No. Yeah, yeah. No. Retweet this or whatever. You know, all those,
rate, review, subscribe.
Exactly. Yeah, smash that like button.
I got more depressing videos up next.
It's all kind of ride on the wave of his name.
I find those things sort of a little bit cringeworthy because it's like, you know what? If you're putting out a message to this dude about this stuff, number one, if you supposedly know him, why are you making a video which you'll probably never see? Number one. Number two, if you do know him, go and catch this dude offline, offline, and give this dude a call. Call him up. Find out what's going on. Do that shit. Don't be doing this shit in public. Yeah,
stop gossiping. Just go out there and help.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, you see like some of these guys like, "Yeah, man, I know him so well. We used to keep in contact and blah, blah, blah." Then shut the fuck up and stop making videos and talk to the dude.
Help him. Right. Like, actually help him. Actually help him. Make a showcase out of it. Yeah.
I used to know Etika. Man, he's going through some shit. Smash the like button.
Exactly.
I have his number right on my phone. Am I going to call him? Hell no. All right.
All right, a little bit of a down note to end on, but hey, you know, we got to talk again because I really like Etika. He was hilarious, you know, but you know, it sucks. But anyway, David, man, I want to thank you for being on tonight. Always good having you on, you know.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, please plug your stuff.
Sure, yeah. You can find me on Twitter at The Guilty Man. Same thing for Instagram, The Guilty Man. I'm also, there's also the podcast which I do, which is Artcast, another retro gaming podcast, which you can find on retrozap.com/artcast.
Yeah. Oh, before I forget, Bloodstain has a release date, David.
Bloodstain has a release date, yes. Yes, I got the email on that too, yeah.
And they released a new trailer, so, you know, essentially putting all the people on blast and said the other trailer looked like shit.
So yeah, a lot of retro games and retro-ish games coming out. Streets of Rage 4. Oh, it's gonna be good.
Yeah, Streets of Rage 4. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we got to get you back on the podcast when that comes out, bro. Because that's gonna be good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, guys. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco and joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. And because, this gets released a day before we go in here, I'd like to plug a little something called Excellence, which is my comic book from Image Comics. I do it with Kari Randolph and Thomas. It's going to be dropping the day before our next episode of Throwdown. So, if you're...
What's it about?
Looks awesome, man.
It's about magicians, black magicians who have this secret order underneath everything. It's a really interesting sort of book. It's funny. I started my career in comics doing a magic book, which was Kara's Magic for Aspen Comics, and then 9 years later, I do another book with magic. It's
with Kari as well.
With Kari Randall. Yeah. So it's kind of a fun how like your life kind of tends to go full circle when you do this sort of stuff for a living. You know, if you didn't get it right the first time, man, you can do it even better the next time. So yeah. So this is my special cover for Excellence, which I did. Hopefully, if you're interested, you go out there and pick one up.
Awesome. And you're into voodoo, so it all works out.
What's that?
And you're into voodoo, so it all works out.
That's right. Is it on Comixology also?
Yeah, it'll be on Comixology. You can get an Image Comics. You can pretty much get anywhere where you can get comics at. So
did they fix your credits on Comixology? Remember there was some issue with they weren't giving you the credit that for some of your works, like when you can click on the artist and they would show all the things.
The way Comixology does their credit.
Actually, you know what? Let's save that for the
end. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
You know who it is. It's the anime god.
Listen, man. Listen. Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, people.
Adam Vale.
R.I.P. Mr. Miyagi.
And Mr. Brian Mungioma.
Question. What looks worse? Will Smith, Genie, or Sonic?
Sonic.
Sonic by far.
Sonic by far.
Sonic, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Will Smith looks good in comparison. Anyway, we'll see you guys on Sunday, man. Later.
Later, guys.
See ya.
Later. Peace.